Alleluia, Christ is risen.
Risen indeed.
Alleluia. Now in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
If you, O Lord, kept a record of sin, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness. Therefore you are feared. Since we are called to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Almighty God, merciful Father, in holy baptism, you declared us to be your children and gathered us into your one holy church in which you daily and richly forgive our sins and grant us new life through your Spirit. Be in our midst, enliven our faith, and graciously receive our prayer and praise through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and rider to the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. Your right hand, O Lord, glorious in power. Your right hand, O Lord, shatters the enemy. You have led us in your steadfast love, the people whom you have redeemed. You have guided them by your strength to your holy abode. You will bring them in and plant them in your own mountain, the place, O Lord, which you have made for your abode. The sanctuary, O Lord, which your hands have established, the Lord will bring forever and ever. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, the Father, through your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, you have overcome death and opened the gate of everlasting life to us. Grant that we who celebrate with joy the day of our Lord's resurrection may be raised from the death of sin by your life-giving Spirit. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Be seated. The Old Testament reading for this Easter morning is from the 31st chapter of Jeremiah. At that time, declares the Lord, I will be the God of all the clans of Israel, and they shall be my people. Thus says the Lord, the people who survived the sword found in the wilderness when Israel sought for rest. The Lord appeared to him from far away. I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have continued my faithfulness to you. Again, I will build you, and you shall be built, O virgin Israel. Again, you shall adorn yourself with tambourines and shall go forth in the dance of the merrymakers. Again, you shall plant vineyards on the mountains of Samaria. The planters shall plant and shall enjoy the fruit. For there shall be a day when watchmen will call in the hill country of Ephraim, Arise, and let us go up to Zion, to the Lord our God. This is the word of the Lord. Christ has risen from the dead. God the Father has crowned him with glory and honor. He has given him dominion over the works of his hands. Our epistle reading is from the third chapter of Paul's letter to the Colossians. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, where seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Stand. Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 28th chapter.
Glory
to you, O Lord. Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you. So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, Greetings! And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
We confess to one another and to the world the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God the Father Almighty,
maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Be seated. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia. Our text for this morning is that beautiful resurrection story from Matthew 28, verses 1 through 10. We pray, O Lord our God, I pray that the words of my lips, the meditation of our hearts might be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. Amen. I saw a little video of a child that was gleefully going to hunt his Easter eggs. He found this great big egg, one of those, some of you remember how the old women's stocking came in that great big egg. That was one of the eggs, an egg he found, and he was so excited, and he got ready to open it, and it was empty. I wonder how many people in the world will come away this Easter day feeling that same way. My fear is that too many of their celebrations are going to leave them with nothing more than those little hollow plastic eggs which get so easily tossed aside after today. When all is said and done, they have done the same thing to their God. Literally, they've tossed aside this wonderful promise because they didn't understand or they didn't believe that it was possible. In our world, we're taught, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably isn't true. So many of us have been taken in by empty promises that we are leery of anything or anyone that tells us we can have something for nothing. The world simply doesn't work that way. But praise be to God, He does. God never made a promise that was too good to be true. The truth of the matter is, yes, the world is full of empty promises. We watch TV, we see the ads, they tell us we can be happy, sexy, rich, or famous, if only we'll purchase that certain product. Doesn't take us very long before we've been fooled. And we know the world's promises are just full of emptiness. But God is different. Instead of promises full of emptiness on Easter, He gave us emptiness that's full of promises. Let me say that again. Instead of promises full of emptiness from God on Easter, He gives us emptiness that's full of promise. Now this morning, I want us to think about the promises of Easter, and I want us to focus on three promises. And beautifully enough, I didn't have any hand in picking that sermon hymn, but it really does kind of fit in well with the verses, kind of what we're talking about. Because each promise is marked by something that is empty. An empty cross, an empty tomb, an empty burial cloth. It's the very fact that each of these is empty that assures us that God's promises are real. Because they could not hold Jesus, because He could not be contained by the cross or the tomb or even the burial cloth, we can be sure that the fullness of God's promises in our lives are true. So let's begin with that empty cross. Because the cross was empty, we have the promise of forgiven sins. If we go back to that first Easter morning, our text said it was early morning, dawn, sun probably had not risen. A few of Jesus' followers, women of course, the first always to take care of all the work, are on their way to the tomb. It was the tomb where Jesus was buried. They're walking now for maybe a half hour or so, conversation somewhat subdued. The task before them was a sad one. They were to complete the burial process, prepare Jesus' body for burial. As they come to the top of the rise of a path, they all stop, motionless. They kind of stare off into the distance. As you look with them. Look off just outside the city streets, a gruesome reminder of the events just a couple of days ago. You see it there silhouetted against the sky on the top of that hill that the locals called the skull or the crosses. Yesterday was Sabbath, so nobody had yet removed them. Perhaps even those two who hung on each side of Jesus were still hanging there because crucifixion normally took several days. And so there those crosses stand. The one, an empty reminder of the horror of Good Friday. That one in the middle. That's the one that we need to concentrate on. That's the one Jesus hung on. Take a close look at it. Look there at the top of the cross. The bloodstain from that crown of thorns that was crushed onto his skull. The stains on the end of the crossbars came from the nails driven into his hands. That main beam soaked in blood, blood from his back. Blood that was bled when the Roman soldiers beat him with that cat o' nine tails made from leather and pieces of bone stitched into it to rip the flesh from his back. The stains of that blood that poured from his side when another Roman soldier ran that spear through his side to see if he was dead. He was. And don't you ever believe if someone tries to tell you that he was just faking it. There was no question. Jesus was dead. The soldiers knew it. All the Romans knew it. All the Jews gathered knew it. But together they made up this lie. A lie that the disciples stole the body of Jesus. Can you imagine those 11 common fishermen overpowering a company of Roman soldiers who were set to guard that grave? And then remove this 2-ton stone and steal the body of Jesus just so they could claim he came back to life, all the while risking their own lives for such a lie? You see, Jesus had died. He really did die. And that's why we have to see that empty cross this morning. It's the place where he died. But today it is empty. Empty of that body of Jesus, but full of God's promises. Full of hope for you and me. We hear so much about hope, how much we need hope these days. And the promise of that empty cross is that you and I have that hope, a very confident hope that your sins are forgiven. Because it was on that cross that Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. Sin. Boy, there's a word that isn't very popular anymore, is it? Used to be a word that was not politically correct. Now it's a word that's not used if you're woke. But the simple fact of the matter is, we've all sinned. Every one of us, you, me, the person sitting next to you, the person behind you, the person in front of you, we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The only person who lived that sinless life, of course, is Jesus himself. We know that. Everyone else has failed. So here's the problem. According to God's law, the wages of sin is death. The soul that sins shall surely die, we're told. Because we have sinned, we deserve God's punishment. No doubt. We deserve eternal death, hell. However, when you look at that empty cross, it's that reminder of God's promise that we've been forgiven. On that cross, Jesus paid the penalty of our sin. On that cross, God's Word tells us again God demonstrated His own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It was on that cross that Jesus Christ offered His perfect, sinless life on behalf of each one of us. No one else has ever done that. It wasn't Moses. Abraham couldn't do it. David, Isaiah, not even Muhammad or Buddha. No one else has ever lived a perfect life for our salvation. That's why the Bible tells us so clearly there is no other name given under heaven by which we can be saved. When Christ Jesus breathed His last, He cried out, "Tetelestai, it is finished." The penalty was paid on that cross, that empty cross. It was there that His blood was spilt for our redemption. Before that fateful Friday, God could open the books and look up each name, and written in black were those words, "guilty of sin." But when Jesus went to that cross and breathed His last, God literally transferred our accounts to His name. And it was on that day, across every name, He wrote in Jesus' blood, "forgiven, forgiven, forgiven." Because of the work that Jesus did on that cross, you and I now stand forgiven. The first empty promise of Easter, an empty cross, filled with the promise of forgiven sins. Now let's go back to our ladies. After pausing briefly to view the cross, they continue on their way down the path to the tomb. And as they go, they probably wondered aloud, who's going to move that stone for us? And they have good reason to be concerned. As I mentioned earlier, it was probably like a 2-ton stone. They had sealed it, so no one was allowed to move it without permission. However, the ladies continue on their way. And then suddenly we're told, and I think we often overlook this, that there was an earthquake. They probably look at each other a little uncertain as to what was happening, but then things kind of seem normal, so they continue on their way. As they approach that burial site, they're probably still wondering, I wonder what had happened back there, when they come upon something even more amazing and remarkable. The soldiers appeared dead, unconscious. The stone has been moved, and an angel, like lightning, is sitting on it. Listen to those words again. "Do not be afraid. I know you're looking for Jesus who has been crucified. He's not here. He's risen."
Risen indeed.
Hallelujah. Yes, Jesus has risen. He was alive and that tomb was empty. And what a tremendous promise that holds. Let me tell you a little story about a young man named Philip. It's kind of related to the opening, but Philip was a young man who never really felt like he belonged. He was pleasant enough, but he looked a little different and kind of acted a little different to his 8-year-old classmates. In fact, in Sunday school, several of the weeks before Easter, Philip's teacher announced this little project that he wanted them to do. He gave every member one of those plastic eggs, one of those big ones like we said, you know, the kind pantyhose used to come in. He explained that each child was to go outside to find a symbol for new life and put it into that egg. Well, enthusiastically, the class did their project. They came back and they responded. Back in the classroom, the eggs were opened one at a time, with each child explaining the meaning of their symbol. The first egg held a little flower. Well, we can see that new life. The next was a beautiful butterfly. Another one had green grass in it. The children oohed and aahed over each egg as it was opened, and then one of them was opened and there was a rock. Everybody kind of laughed a little bit, didn't quite understand that. Finally, the last egg was opened. It happened to be Philip's egg, and it was empty. One of the kids grumbled and said, "Oh, that's stupid. Someone didn't get it right. They didn't do the right thing." And then the teacher felt a tug on his sleeve. It was little Philip. He said, "That's mine." And I did do it right. It's empty because the tomb was empty. Duh. We know that. There was an unusual, thoughtful silence from his classmates. And strangely, from that time on, Philip was very much accepted as a part of the group. Well, the story continues because Philip continued to struggle with a lot of physical problems. And that summer, he picked up an infection which most children would usually kind of throw off. But Philip's weak body couldn't handle it, and he died. At the funeral, those little 8-year-old classmates of his with their teacher brought that symbol of remembrance and placed it near his coffin. That unusual gift of love to Philip wasn't flowers. You got it. It was that empty egg. Philip, this different child, had helped his friend see the wonderful hope of Easter. For in fact, the empty tomb is the truth of the resurrection of Jesus, a promise to every one of us that we too will rise to eternal life. To those who know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, death has lost its sting. It is no longer something to be feared. What fear is there when we have the promise that one day we're going to live forever with Him in heaven? Another quick story. A father and his son were traveling down a country road. In the springtime, suddenly a bee flew in the window. Now, being deathly allergic to the stings, the little boy began to panic as the bee buzzed all around inside the car. Seeing the horror on his child's face, the father reached out and caught that bee in his hand. And then soon he opened his hand, and the bee began to buzz around again. The boy began to panic again. The father reached over, opened his hand, and showed him the stinger still in his hand. "Relax, son," the father said. "I took the sting. The bee can't hurt you anymore." Well, the empty tomb is God's way of showing us, "Relax, my child. I took the sting. Death can no longer harm you." Why was the tomb empty? Because Jesus was alive. It's that simple. The angel said, "He is risen."
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
And that promise to us is that we can live even if we die. That's the second promise of Easter. But it doesn't end there. There's one more promise I want you to know about. And that is the promise of those empty burial cloths. Back to our story. After that angel of the Lord had spoken to the women, they immediately went back to the disciples and they reported what had happened. What was incredible news. Now, not in our text, but in others, it tells us about how Peter and John immediately raced to the tomb to check this out. These crazy women, who knows what they're talking about? And when they got there, John stopped outside the tomb, but not Peter. You know, old Peter. Right in he goes to check everything out. Didn't take long to discover the tomb was empty, just the way the women had said. But that's not all. Inside, Peter found those cloths that Jesus had been wrapped in, buried in. They too were empty. And it could only mean one thing. Jesus was alive. I mean, think about it. If somebody had stolen his body, they would not have removed the burial cloths. They would have just taken everything. They wouldn't have removed those cloths and then taken the time to fold them up neatly and lay them aside. Truly, Jesus was resurrected. And in fact, it wouldn't be long before Jesus himself would appear and to Mary, to the apostles, eventually to over 500, and he would sit with them, he would walk with them, he would talk with them, he would eat with them. Once again, they would be in fellowship with their Lord. You see, that's the promise of the empty burial cloths. Jesus is alive and he wants to fellowship with you. He wants to be in relationship with you. He isn't some nebulous force out there somewhere in the universe influencing us. He is a living Savior. Ascended, but living. He desires to have this personal relationship with each one of us, just as He did with those disciples 2,000 years ago. Now think about that. The cross couldn't hurt Him. The tomb couldn't hold Him. And the burial clause, that was unnecessary because Jesus is alive. He has skin and bones and a face and was recognizable. And He talked and He touched and He loved and He healed. He did it on the day of His resurrection and He still does it to this very day. And most importantly, He wants to do it with each one of us. I want to ask you a very important question this morning. Do you know Christ? Yeah. Do you truly know? I don't just mean do you know about Him as a character. I mean, you know, we can know about someone without knowing them. We know about Donald Trump, about Joe Biden. We know about Tiger Woods, Michael Jordan. We know all kinds of people. There are people that we know something about, but do any of us really know them? You can know Jesus Christ. You can know His love, His care, His healing, His forgiveness. He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears My voice and opens the door, I'll come to him. I'll dine with him, and he is with me." It's been perhaps 2,000 years since Jesus was crucified, buried, resurrected. That first Easter morning as the women went to the grave, they had no idea what was about to happen to them. They weren't yet aware of all these wonderful promises that were about to take place for them. Off in the distance stood that empty cross, a promise that their sins were forgiven. At the end of their journey was this empty tomb, the promise of eternal life. And inside that tomb were the empty burial cloths, the promise that they would once again have a very close personal relationship with Jesus Christ, their living Savior. The promises they discovered you can have and you can share with all your friends and neighbors. You can know this freedom of forgiven sins. You can know the promise of eternal life in heaven. And you can know Jesus Christ as a personal Lord and Savior. I think at Easter, more than any other time of the year, we can realize that God has made all kinds of promises, some of them kind of outlandish when you think about it. So outlandish that some of us just can't bring ourselves to believe it. Or can we? This morning we've heard about three promises that God has made to us. The promise of forgiven sins, the promise of eternal life, and the promise of a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Those are not empty promises. My question to you this morning is this: will you take Him at His word? If so, listen to His final promise, a promise actually found in Romans 10:13. "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." My prayer for you this day and every day that you may know this joy of forgiveness, eternal life, and a relationship with this loving Jesus. Not only this morning, but every day of your life. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ. Amen. Now we join our hearts in prayer and we remember those in prayer. If I can get it open here. Those listed in the bulletin for Annie Mae Karenik, Pastor Scott and Judy, Robert, Alfred, Jeff, Sandra, Dean, Barbara, Scott, Bob, Don and Donna, and Lars. Let us pray. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. O Lord, our strength and song, you have become our salvation. Receive our thanks for your gracious deliverance in Christ Jesus, crucified and risen. Lord, in your mercy, Heavenly Father, in baptism you have joined us to Christ's death and resurrection and made us citizens of your kingdom. Move our hearts to repentance that we would set our mind on things above and be directed by your holy will. Lord, in your mercy, Almighty God, when doubt and fear weigh us down, console us with the certainty that Christ is risen from the dead and that he rules over all things for our good and greets us with life in his means of grace. Lord, in your mercy, gracious Lord, lead your people in your steadfast love and guide them in strength to your holy abode. Sanctify our homes. Be the companion of those who live alone. Make our households places where your wisdom and grace are found. Lord, in your mercy, your right hand, O Lord, is gracious in power. Grant that all in authority would govern according to your will, maintaining order and curbing evil, that we may live in peace. Lord, in your mercy, righteous Lord, you have seated Christ at your right hand for our deliverance. Remember those afflicted with illness and injury, especially Annie Mae, Pastor Scott, Judy, Robert, Alfred, Jeff, Sandra, Dean, Barbara, Scott, Bob, Don and Donna, and Lars. Give them health and strength according to your will. Sustain them in faith, knowing that for Jesus' sake you will raise them in glory on the last day. Lord, in your mercy, O God, our strength and salvation, you delivered your people from bondage in Egypt by means of the Passover lamb. As we celebrate Christ, our Passover lamb, who has been sacrificed and raised from the dead, bless all who partake of his sacrament. Cleanse them from boasting, malice, and evil, and give them repentant hearts to receive him in sincerity and truth. Lord, in your mercy. Eternal God, thanks be to you for victory over death through our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember all who mourn. Comfort them with the promise that you love them with an everlasting love and will raise them and all people from the dead. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Be seated. Please stand. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Blessed are you, O Lord, our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For Christ, our Passover Lamb, has been sacrificed. By his death, he has redeemed us from the bondage of sin and death, and by his resurrection, he has delivered us into new life in him. Grant us to keep the feast in sincerity and truth, faithfully eating his body given into drinking, eating into death, and drinking his life's blood poured out for our salvation, until we pass through death to the promised land of life eternal. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is a new testament in my blood which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
Let us bless the Lord. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace.
Amen. Amen.